Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF. It is the 17th of March, and that is St. Patrick's Day. And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, Twitter, or elsewhere, Mr. Somers has found a rainbow for me, appropriately enough, and a pot of gold as well. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Aaron Somers, our producer engineer on the board.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too.
Thank you so very much. Mr. Somers, thinking ahead, has plenty of green on today. I thought that I was grabbing, I have several flannels, obviously, but I thought I was pulling one of my flannels that had kind of a blue and green in it, and instead there was just a lot of blue and brown. So I, and Somers said, well, I'm not pinching anybody this morning. Which I enjoyed. Not the pinching, just the comment, to be clear. But yes, St. Patrick's Day. We appreciate you all being here. A lot of people having a little corned beef, a little cabbage today, perhaps a green beverage or two of your choosing. So however you're doing it, make sure you do so safely. We'll talk a little bit more about St. Patrick's Day later on in the show. But we'll take your calls. What are you doing for St. Patrick's Day? What is your favorite drink on St. Patrick's Day? Coming up at 8:30, though, in this half hour, Brady Ewing from Richland Center, former Wisconsin Badger captain, three-time Big Ten champion, and in the NFL, the league, as they call it. And yes, we'll be asking Mr. Ewing what his thoughts are on the ongoing Aaron Rodgers saga. But I want to take a little bit a different perspective this morning with Brady. I'm going to ask him from a standpoint of having been in the NFL. You know, is it like high school or college where guys get a reputation? Once you're an adult in the NFL, and I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers has a reputation for being a prima donna, but I mean, do guys get that kind of reputation even after in the NFL? Kind of like, well, this guy is fantastic, but this guy, holy cow, you don't want to be on a team with him. So we'll find out. We'll find out if that still exists in the NFL. Brady Ewing will be along at the bottom of the hour, and we'll also talk a little NCAA, March Madness. Wow! Todd stayed up way too late last night watching the end of a couple of these games, and holy smokes, big upsets last night. Virginia, number 4, Virginia. Number 2, Arizona, gone and gone in the first round of the NCAA, so we'll talk to Brady about that as well at 8:30. Also taking your calls this morning. Also in probably our second hour, check in on our old friend Glenn Grothman. You know Glenn, who didn't like to give his staff the day off for Martin Luther King Day. You know Glenn, who liked to circulate out amongst the crowd during Act 10 while teachers' rights were being taken away. You know Glenn, the guy who called me up when I witnessed Republicans trying to take away voting rights and said, Todd, I just don't think you're remembering right. That's the Glenn Grothman we're talking about. Well, he's up to new tricks when it comes to people and hunger. He's taken a page out of the Minnesota playbook. So we'll check in with Glenn. If he wants to call, Glenn is welcome on this show anytime. Congressman Glenn Grothman. And you know what? I actually think he would probably do it if we can get a hold of him. His staff might not want him to do it, but he would do it. He has come up with some outrageousness when it comes to telling people if you are on benefits for help with food, you don't need it. Kind of things. We don't have any people who are hungry in America. A little over the top. So anyway, we'll talk about all those stories and take your calls and more. And of course, in hour number 3, we have Board Game of the Week with Mr. Aaron Somers, an Irish version, I'm not even sure, but a St. Patrick's Day version of Board Game of the Week. And we'll have a Mimosa Friday as well, what we are thankful for in hour 3. So all that and more headed your way. First of all, check of weather on this St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March, 2023. In Richland Center, WRCE land today, decreasing clouds, blustery conditions, a high of 23. for today in the RC. Mostly cloudy, breezy once again tomorrow at a low of 11. And Saturday, the winds continue, a chance for flurries, blustery, a high of 24 degrees. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio today. Cloudy, perhaps a chance of a snow shower in the afternoon, a high of 22. Snow most of the night tonight, a low of 10. Not a whole lot of precipitation expected with this snow shower tonight in Wausau, but it will continue on to Saturday and maybe a little bit of accumulation on Saturday. We'll check in with Kara Foster at the bottom of the hour from Weatherology as well. Tomorrow in Wausau, a high of 22. Over in beautiful Amory, Lake Air Radio, WLAK, a chance of snow showers this afternoon in Amory, patchy blowing snow, a high of 16 degrees. And then for tonight, snow showers likely, patchy and blowing snow, and a low of 9. And tomorrow on Saturday in Amory, a chance of flurries, blustery, and a low of 22 degrees. Again, not a whole lot of accumulation, maybe a couple 3 inches at most. Winter storm warnings, though, if you're headed to the Frozen Four to cheer on the Wisconsin Badgers. Boy, it is going to get nasty up there in Duluth, Minnesota. Of course, the roof of the Applebee's restaurant in Duluth collapsed a couple of days under heavy snow. So in all seriousness, if you're headed to Duluth to watch the Frozen Four, Wisconsin taking on the Golden Gophers tomorrow,
you better stay away from Applebee's.
Or they've got a heck of a deal on margaritas, because they got all the ice and snow that you can handle at the Applebee's in Duluth. But yeah, it's dicey up there. But wishing the Wisconsin Badger women's hockey team all the best as they take on the Golden Gophers later on tonight. I believe 6 o'clock. We'll check the game time on that. But 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN+. Of course it is. Back with more after this. What you need to know, this is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
City street, you could be in Peru, and you hear a distant calling, and you know it's meant for you. Then you drop what you are doing, and you join the merry mob, and before you know just where you are, you're in an Irish pub. They've got one in Honolulu, they've got one in Moscow too, they got four of them in Sydney, and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job, cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. The High Kings, I assume, Mr. Zahmer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Love that group. Have them on my phone. Which song was that one?
An Irish pub song.
Irish pub song. Of course it is. Really, really, really great. So we're going to hear a lot of the Irish Kings today. One of my favorite groups. They were in Madison a few years back, and it's one of those things where I didn't hear that they were in Madison until the day after they were in Madison.
Of course.
And I'm like, no! From Ireland, they travel all over the world. The High Kings, really, really a great group. If you ever have a chance to pick up an album or download it, do so. The High Kings, really, really great group. So more of them throughout the day on the St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March, 2023, coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will check in with meteorology forecaster and meteorologist from Weatherology. There's a lot of ologies there. But we'll check in with Kara Foster at the bottom of the hour. She'll tell us about this snow. Again, not a lot of accumulation, or so it appears. Kara will fill us in. But more the blustery wind conditions. So hang on to your hat. Tie down your wig. Don't let it blow away. It's going to be a very blustery St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's Day weekend. Also, then after that, we'll check in with Brady Ewing and check in with his experience from college football, the NFL, and find out his thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and the NCAA tournament, and so much more. But first, here's what you need to know, your news headlines for St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March, 2023. Ukraine. Chinese leader Xi Jinping will visit Moscow next week for the first time since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Beijing and the Kremlin confirmed it today. The trip will mark a new milestone in the country's growing partnership as Western officials continue to express concerns that China may be considering providing Russia with lethal military assistance. According to a Chinese foreign ministry spokesman, the visit is to urge peace and promote talks, unquote. But China's effort to present itself as a neutral peace broker on Ukraine has been met with skepticism. skepticism. Easy for Todd to say. In Western capitals, due to Beijing's growing partnership with Moscow, China has both provided diplomatic support for Moscow and refused to condemn Russia's attack on Ukraine, instead blaming NATO for provoking the conflict, which, of course, is 100% not true. Classified documents. Dozens of staff members at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence have been subpoenaed to testify on the former president's handling of classified documents. The special counsel in the classified documents probe has sought testimony from a range of people close to Trump, from his own attorneys who represent him in the matter to staffers who work on the grounds of his Florida estate, including a housekeeper and restaurant servers, of course, according to sources. This comes as the Justice Department has spent much of the past year investigating the potential mishandling of national security records and possible obstruction. FBI agents recovered more than 100 classified documents during a search of Mar-a-Lago last summer. Since then, Trump's legal team has turned over additional classified material. It is tax season. Do not forget that. Unlike the past two tax filing seasons, this year appears to be going relatively smoothly, according to tax preparers. Quote, after a few years of pandemic-related updates, mid-tax season IRS guidance, last-minute tax law changes, and more, the quiet is a welcome change to many, unquote. The National Association of Tax Preparers said in a statement, more returns are being processed and more refunds are being issued than at the same point last year. New statistics from the IRS indicate that, however, the average refund this year, as expected, is smaller, down 11% to $3,028, because pandemic relief measures that boosted refunds have expired. If you haven't filed your taxes, you still have time. This year's official due date for returns is Tuesday, April 18th. Good reminder for Toddy. I have not made the jaunt down to Monroe, Wisconsin, to my local IRS tax preparer, better known as the HR Block in Monroe. My tax preparer's last name is actually Block. I'm not kidding. And she works for H&R Block. I don't think any relation, but a fantastic person nonetheless. COVID-19. Advisors to the FDA voted 16-1 on Thursday for full approval of Paxlovid, stating that the drug's benefits outweigh any risks for treatment of mild to moderate COVID-19 in high-risk adults. More than 8 million people in the U.S. have received Paxlovid since it became available under emergency use authorization in 2021. Before Paxlovid is fully approved, the FDA, which typically follows the recommendations of its advisory committee, must conduct its own review. That is expected to wrap up in May. Separately, questions remain about how the pandemic may have affected maternal mortality in the U.S. Experts say the U.S. maternal mortality crisis was compounded by COVID-19, which led to a dramatic increase in deaths. France is in the news this morning. This one, an interesting topic. Protests are escalating in France today after the government recently announced it would force a higher retirement age from 62 to 64. French President Emmanuel Macron will trigger special constitutional powers to enact the proposed pension reform bill, according to the Prime Minister, which they announced at the National Assembly, which had not yet voted on the proposal. Labor leaders in France called for new demonstrations following the announcement, with several thousand protesters converging in Paris. The protests have been held regularly throughout France since mid-January, with millions turning out to voice their opposition to the government plan. Raising the retirement age 2 years in France from 62 to 64. Would that make you upset enough to go and demonstrate? I mean, here, you know, generally 65 is what people consider. But I know there's a lot of people that say, hey, I'm going to have to work till 70. Other people are able to retire at 62, maybe in 59. But if the official age of retirement in the U.S. was raised from 65 to 67, will that tick you off enough to go demonstrate about it? Give us a call, 715-388-6160. 7155. Like to hear your thoughts on that. Area code 715-388-7155. If they raise the retirement year from 65 to 67, would you go protest over that? Area code 715-388-7155. We'd love to know your thoughts on that this morning. Because I don't know. I mean, I tell people I have a mutt resume. I've had a lot. When you're in politics or government, when your boss or party is doing well, you have a job. And whether or not, you don't. So I've been in politics, you know, over the course of, you know, 25, 30 years, but it wasn't straight employment. It wasn't consistent employment. Did other things in between there. So I don't plan on retiring anytime around 65 at all. Like I told Jeff Perry or somebody the other day, I said, I'll be in a walker in a wheelchair, probably still working well into my 80s, just to be able to retire by 90. But I mean, there's a lot of people, right? I mean, it's not a laughing matter to a lot of folks who are working well into their 70s, even 80s, because for various reasons, they didn't have jobs where they were able to save anything for retirement, or they have to live only on Social Security and they just can't afford it. It's a very real thing. So if we in America, what's happening in France right now, but they're going from 62 to 64. If in the U.S. the official age went from 65 to 67, would you go demonstrate? 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Would love to know what you think this morning. Sports news this morning. Coming up tonight, the Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team are headed to the Frozen Four. Well, they're probably already there. Up in Minnesota Duluth. They'll be taking on the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. Not Minnesota Duluth, but Minnesota. That was a great semifinal game, by the way. The Dogs of UMD, University of Minnesota Duluth, took on the Golden Gophers. The Gophers won that one by a couple of goals. It was really closer than that because one of those was an empty netter towards the end of the game. But Minnesota Duluth doing a great job, great season this year. But Minnesota won, and so Minnesota will take on Wisconsin in the first game of the Frozen Four tonight at 6 o'clock. Unfortunately, if you want to watch it, because of all the basketball games, you got to subscribe to ESPN Plus, which I just think is a bunch of hooey. I mean, again, these young women get to the Final Four. And in order for anybody to watch it, you have to subscribe to ESPN Plus. Don't get that one. We'll ask Brady Ewing what he thinks about that. Then, of course, we have Marquette playing the first round tonight in Columbus at 1:45, actually this afternoon. 1:45, Marquette plays Vermont in the first round of the NCAA tournament in Columbus, Ohio on CBS and also on Bull Falls Radio in select cities. And let's hope that one of your cities have been selected. If you're in Wausau, you're in luck. Pardon me, if you're in the Richland Center. No, this is a Marquette. I was right the first time. Wausau, the Bull Falls Radio, that's where we carry Marquette basketball. So you can tune in and listen to the game on Bull Falls Radio if you are in Wausau. There you go. On Richland Center at Amory over the weekend, on Sunday, the Badgers hosting Liberty at 11 a.m. on Sunday in the second round of the NIT on ESPN2, also perhaps on your select civic music stations as well. So the Badgers trying to get past Liberty on Sunday. So there's your sports lineup. We shall, again, talk to Brady Ewing about all those things, including that and Aaron Rodgers and much, much more coming up here in a couple of minutes after the break and after the weather as well. We'll take your phone calls in hour number two. Also coming up in hour two, our old friend Glenn Grothman. I say that with tongue in cheek. United States Congressman Glenn Grothman attacking the poor and the hungry. Not making this up. We'll have a story on that. Take your phone calls as well on that. And when we come back, we're also going to take a look at the weather. Where you are. Who says that? That's like a theme song or a slogan. Because it's going to be blustery. Very, very blustery this weekend. And, of course, it's St. Patrick's Day, so we'll be featuring some music throughout the day of St. Patrick's as well. The High Kings are here in studio. No, I only wish. Wouldn't it be fantastic get like the High Kings. I would like to have some more music, some live music from time to time.
That'd be pretty nice.
That'd be absolutely fantastic. So maybe when we get to our new studios. By the way, I hear tell, as they say, our new studios are coming along.
I mean, last time I was there, like I think I said to you before, there are couches in the studio now.
That's crazy. And next time we're going to have, like, you know, beds and cots, and we'll just be staying there all the time, all year round. Stay with us. We have weatherology meteorologist Kara Foster and then Brady Ewing. This is the Todd Allball Show for St. Patrick's Day, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job. Because wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub. Wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub.
Brogan's, Brogan's, sitting there in Hogan's, drinking at the bottom of the hill. She broke my heart in the Phoenix Park, and I nearly lost my well. With a brazen head, she turned and said, you need to go walk the long haul. It was getting late, so we jumped the gate and crushed the Trinity ball. She says, are we going
Welcome
home?
Back to the Todd Allball Show. It's now 8:33 on a St. Patrick's Day. Some more Irish-themed music here for you on the 17th day of March. And I'm not sure if Foster is particularly Irish, but our good luck charm for weather, that is Kara Foster, is in from Weatherology. And Kara, have a great guest today, Brady Ewing. So we got to keep things a little bit short today. But do you celebrate the holiday?
I do indeed. I'm actually 14% Irish, so I'm not a total poser. Yeah, exactly.
Well, fantastic.
I'm very English, but definitely very Irish as well. So, yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and yours. Let's get to the weather to tell folks. It looks like it's going to be breezy over the next couple of days. What can we expect in Richland Center, Amory, and Wausau, if you'd be so very kind?
Yeah, fortunately, not too much to report other than the wind and cooler temperatures. I mean, there's going to be a slight chance for some flurries throughout the state today. Not expecting too much out of that. Some areas could see maybe up to a half an inch, but other than that, it's going to stay pretty dry. Stay cloudy, reach a high of 16 in Amory. We're reaching 22 in Wausau and 27, and maybe some sunshine in Richland Center, but still have that chance for some snow flurries. Northwest winds are about 15 to 20, still gusting as high as 30. As we head into tonight, we're going to stay cloudy. Some of those areas could see a little bit more flurries. We'll dip down to 10 in Amory, back down to 10 once again in Wausau, and 11 over in Richland Center. For the rest of the weekend, it seems pretty calm other than Saturday. We're going to still have these winds sticking around, so temperatures are still going to stay cooler, staying on the cloudier side as well throughout much of the state. Throughout Saturday night, we'll stay clear, but our temperatures are still going to be in the single digits and lower teens, so definitely a very chilly night as well. Now, Sunday is where it all turns around. Sunny. We'll be back in the 30s throughout much of the state, even in maybe the lower 40s throughout the southern portions. And then next week, we're definitely more average. Our average high is about the upper 30s, lower 40s. So we're going to be in the upper 30s by Monday, see more sunshine. There will be another system moving in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But since we're going to be so much warmer, we should only really see mainly rain. There is still a chance for some snow, but as of right now, it seems to be a lot more rain this time around, and highs will be sticking in those 40s and definitely a lot more consistent next week. So thankfully, we don't have to worry as much about that. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Thank you, Kara. We appreciate you. Have a very great weekend and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks. You as well.
Thank you.
Catch you Monday.
Yep. Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Somers. I thought we were doing music. But there we go.
Sorry about that.
It's fine. Mr. Somers has begun the holiday a little early. He has a large pint over there he's sipping from this morning.
It's water.
That music can only mean one thing. Yes, it is March Madness, and it's time to bring in Brady. Help us out. Save the morning. If there's one thing Brady Ewing's good at, it's just making everything better. How are you, Brady?
Oh, don't hype it up too much. I'm doing great. It's that soundtrack did remind me of March Madness, but also in the news setting, it almost sounded like breaking news.
I know, right?
You know, you're about to drop some bombs here.
Here's the bomb. Here's the sports bomb that was dropped yesterday. Of course, Aaron Rodgers finally has said, "I'm out of here." On Pat McAfee's show yesterday, but the news is that they haven't really come to a final agreement yet. Because, it was being portrayed that Rodgers was the one holding this whole deal up. Now it comes out, nope, nope, not me, or so he says. And so now we're still in limbo. Brady Ewing, former player at the Badger football team, captain, three-time Big Ten champion in the league, the NFL for three seasons. What do you make of this?
It's fascinating, and in true Aaron Rodgers fashion, it's you know, a lot of plot to it. So it was interesting. I watched some of the highlights of the Pat McAfee conversation, and you know, Aaron just calmly, coolly laying out kind of his thought process from, you know, going into the dark room, 90% focusing on retirement. Coming out, you know, it's almost as if he got that chip back on his shoulder. And, you know, when the Packers kind of supposedly changed tunes when he came out of the dark room and, you know, started taking initiative to shop him around a little bit, and that chip on the shoulder came back and, you know, kind of flipped the script on him seemingly wanting to play. So it was fascinating to watch and really interesting as all these developments continue to happen and no deal has been struck.
But Brady, not a
lot of leverage there from the Packers side right now.
Right, exactly. I want to get to that in a minute. But first of all, do you just your gut? I mean, do you have to go sit? And look, I'm all for, we've talked about it on this program before, I do not want to make fun of anyone's mental health situation. And if you, anybody needs time away to meditate or to just, you know, whether it's prayer or meditation or time out in the woods or whatever, we all have to do whatever we have to do to keep healthy and think. And so that, you know, if that's what he says he did, I'll take him at his word. But does anyone really need that much time to think about, geez, I don't know, do I want $60 million? I mean, I don't buy that, Brady. What do you think? I mean, I just don't think that he went into this thinking, nah, I'm going to hang it up and just walk away from $60
million. Yeah, it's hard to fathom, right? I mean,
that's at least for us.
Different league of you know, compensation for a year of work, but at the same time, I do get it because, you know, he's been money doesn't, I wouldn't think, motivate him or the guys like Tom Brady anymore. While they can continue to stockpile it, they're set for life, right? And as long as they're taking care of their stuff and investing wisely and choosing their path right there, you know, it probably isn't about that. And but to spend 5 days in a dark room, and I think he said he spent, you know, one full day on the reality that he was going to retire and another full day of meditation on the reality that he's going to play. That's pretty intense. I mean, I think of some of the decisions I've made that have set the trajectory of my life and, you know, didn't put that much time into it. So, you know, he's Aaron in true Aaron fashion, brings curveballs, brings entertainment in his own way. So it's been...
Yes. It's drama. I mean, it could be its own miniseries right there. But you touched on it, and I want to get into this a little bit now. I mean, the question I asked yesterday, and nobody really wanted to talk about it, apparently, because we didn't get any calls on it. But the question I said was, who got screwed worse, the Packers or the Jets by Aaron Rodgers? Because you had Mark Murphy out there, saying, you know, we've moved on, and we wish Aaron well. Well, where's your leverage then if you're the Packers? I mean, the Jets flew out there and have prostrated themselves on the ground and said, anything you want, Aaron. Well, I mean, where's their leverage? The guy that has all the leverage is Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and he's already voiced the fact that he doesn't want to play for the Packers. I mean, in reality, I saw somebody on social media say it, but Aaron could technically end up being in Green Bay, whether he plays or not. I mean, he's the Packers are obligated to that contract unless they offload it. So it's, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this in my time in the National Football League of professional sports, where, you know, you're caught in this interesting world of real-time data, you know, with social media and tweets and Instagram and all this stuff. But the teams are trying to noodle out the compensation. That's a huge cap hit, too,
right,
for any team, let alone the Packers and what they got going. So it's fascinating.
You're exactly right because I mean, I remember when Favre left you know, the New York Jets, and I've told people, of course, if this goes through and Rodgers goes to New York, it only means one thing: he'll be the starting quarterback for the Vikings next year. So the Minnesota can look forward to
it's
that.
Only the natural progression.
Exactly. Yeah, right. But I mean, I remember, you know, 15, 16 years ago, you know, when you know, Favre was in, he was out, he was in, he was out. They flew down there. They tried a couple of guys, tried to bring him back. And it was going to be like, hey, and he flew back. He flew back to Green Bay from Mississippi and said, I'm back. And the Packers at the time basically said, that's great. If you want to be the backup behind Aaron Rodgers, come on over. I mean, that's what they said at the time. And you're exactly right, Brady, because of, and I'm not no expert in NFL contracts, but it appears that unless.
Me neither.
Well, I mean, you've had a heck of a lot more experience than I have. But yeah. I mean, it appears that unless they come to a trade agreement, the Packers, as you said, are obligated for essentially $60 million for Rodgers to sit and be mm-hmm. Love's backup quarterback.
Exactly. If that's the direction they want to take the franchise, absolutely.
That would be a heck of a deal.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Well, I think it brings up a point we talked about on a previous Friday, too, is, you know, these quarterbacks, I think we talked about in regards to Tom Brady, you know, yeah. That is a huge, you know, we joke about $60 million. Yes, that's insane.
Yeah.
But these guys, the football, the grind of a football season, especially for a quarterback, is, you know, far and above the grind of just your everyday player from, you know, the time that he gets in, the film study, obviously the physical toll, they don't necessarily take as much on the field,
right.
But you still got to be in good physical shape and preparation through the off season. And that's a grind, especially with some of the added games that they put into preseason or regular season. So I get a lot of those guys still want to go out and compete, but maybe once they put themselves in that environment, like I think Aaron Rodgers said, you know, I wanted to give myself a week or two of training, see how my body was feeling, see if I still had that, you know, competitive edge.
Right.
And so it's a journey and it's a marathon, and those guys get it. They've been through it. And I think that's where some of that hesitation comes, is that money, is that, you know, another year on the field worth all of that investment and, you know, challenging your body, challenging your mind for basically 8 months in preparation and through the season.
See, I think that's a really good perspective, because if you just ask a goofball like me, you know, I mean, hey, you want to pay me $60 million to go out there and let 300-400-pound guys just beat the crap out of me? For $60 million, Brady? For $60 million, I might take that deal.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just pummel me for you know, 17 games. Pay me $60 million, or, and I might do that. But you're right. It is so much more to that, especially in this day and age. Here's a question perspective I'd like your answer to. And I'm not asking you to use any specific names or anything, but
yep.
We see this, you know, drama, as we all know, Aaron Rodgers has become, and now he's basically, you know, the reports out there that he basically gave a list of demands, essentially, of players that from Randall Cobb to Mercedes Lewis. Basically, you go out and get these guys, and I'll come. Now, Aaron Rodgers denied that he did that on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, so that didn't
right.
happen. But these guys are now being signed by the Jets, so you know. But here's the question. You know, of course, this is high school happens. I think it happens a bit in college as well. But once you get to the league, mm-hmm. once you get to the NFL and you're a professional football player, does that kind of reputation of, hey, you want to be on the team with this guy because he's really great. He's nice to everybody. He's a hard worker. Or you do not want to be on a team with this guy. He is cancerous. He's poisoned. He's a mm-hmm. handful. I mean, do those reputations still exist once you get to the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. I think they do. And, you know, there's only a certain amount of players that have the leverage. You know, I look at myself, I was just fighting to survive, right? Get on mm-hmm. a roster and, you know, try to survive a season healthily and contribute to the team and all that. But there's only a certain few limited players like Aaron Rodgers, like Tom Brady, you know, some of these legacy guys where they can make demands. And I think Aaron's point with that, which is also interesting, is, you know, he wants to surround himself with people he trusts. Look how the Packers brought back Randall Cobb this year, you know, kind of towards the end of his career run. But Aaron knew he could count on him for, you know, 2, 3, 4 catches a game. He knew where he was going to be on his routes. Even look at Jared Aberderis. I think Aaron Rodgers took a liking to him when he was in Green Bay. And I think that brought more opportunities for him. He struggled with injuries and some different things. But if you have certain people, whether that's your quarterback, whether that is the offensive coordinator, the head coach, the more people you have pulling for you to give you opportunities and chances, people shift around a lot in the NFL. So whether it's a player, whether it's a coach, I look at my own situation. The director of player personnel in Atlanta, when I got drafted there, became the general manager in Jacksonville. And that was one of the catalysts that gave me the opportunity to continue my third year in Jacksonville when I got released by Atlanta. So just like in the real world, you know, a lot of it comes down to relationships and connections.
Yeah,
being able to stick around and get into that second contract for some of those guys in the NFL.
There you go. Be back with more, Brady. You were going to ask him a little bit about his bracket, how it's doing, hopefully better than mine, which is a disaster already. Brady Ewing is next. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Cynic Media Radio Network. Show is 8:50 on the time and temperature side. Brady Ewing from Richland Center, former Badger, former NFL player for Jacksonville and for Atlanta, is our guest every Friday, every other Friday, as per usual. Joining us live from the RC, Mr. Ewing. And Brady, we've been texting back and forth a little bit. How's the old bracket looking for you, my friend?
Oh, man, it's busted up already.
You and me both.
I had Virginia, I think, going to the Sweet 16.
I had him in the final four.
Arizona I had as my national champ.
You had Arizona as the national champ? Oh, my gosh.
I did, yeah. So it shows you how much college basketball I watched or how crazy March Madness is on the other end of the spectrum.
I think that's what it is, right? I mean, but that's the thing that we love about the tournament, right, about this time of the year.
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, I watch the Badgers for college basketball, and if there's a huge Big Ten game on or something, but even high school, you know, tournament stuff, the boys started last night and going in through the weekend. It is so fun to watch people compete at a high level, and whether it's the number one team in the country playing a team that barely snuck in, that's maybe from a smaller conference, you know it's going to be competitive, probably going to come down to the wire. And a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, and a culmination of, you know, a year long preparation and work going into those games. So I love it. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, me too. I always enjoy. I mean, I feel bad now that you had Arizona as your national champion, but I mean that game against Arizona, against Virginia, And I mean, my gosh, I mean, these teams, you think, well, they got no chance, but here's Furman. I mean, who the heck has ever, I mean, I kind of vaguely heard of Furman, but I mean, they take down Virginia, and to see these kids that would otherwise, the kids from Princeton, a number 15 seed, takes down Arizona, a two. I mean, these kids, you know, they're in the gym and they're battling and they're working in the classroom just as hard as the Arizonas. They get all the credit. And you never hear about them, right?
Absolutely.
And a lot of these kids probably have almost no chance of ever playing in the NBA. But, you know, to be cliche about it, but as the song says at the end of the tournament, for one shining moment, they're on national television and they take down the Giant.
Oh, and that's what we love about it, right?
I
wasn't even upset to watch some of the highlights of the Arizona game just because it was so competitive and such a good game. And even the Virginia game. To watch how, you know, that last turnover and that 3-point to win it. Love that. So I love the underdog story, love the Cinderella story. And no doubt, you know, somebody like Furman probably doing a lot less as far as having a lot less resources for their team.
Right.
Throughout the team. I don't know what their facilities are like or, you know, the type of food they're able to provide their players or things like that. But to watch them come out and compete against, you know, the best of the nation. And, you know, come out a winner as a team is pretty special.
I mean, it's almost like watching a mini version of Hoosiers every year for these teams. And to see these kids come there, like you say, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the NCAA. There are kids, Chad Holmes from the Chad Holmes Show and WXCO and Wausau, our affiliate there. He's back in Madison today. And now I'm blanking on the team from Central Wisconsin he's covering. But haven't been in the state basketball tournament in Madison in 25 years, I think he said. And, I mean, you know, we grew up in Richland Center. For whether you're from Richland Center or Ithaca or Kickapoo or Riverdale or you up in the Wausau area or Amory, you get somebody to, it doesn't matter what sport, you get to state, it's a big deal.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I was traveling for work this week and was up in Whitehall, Wisconsin, and driving around downtown, grabbing a Subway for lunch, and they got signs all over the place, you know, wishing Whitehall high school boys basketball team good luck. So it's not only cool for the kids and, you know, all the work that they've put in, but it's also cool for the community to rally around. And that stuff snowballs. You know, the kids see that. They start to see what it takes to be successful at the highest level. And it just kind of feeds itself. It becomes somewhat of a machine. You look at Lancaster,
right,
and the success, the dynasty that they had for an extended amount of time. You know, a lot of that is just, it's self-perpetuating once you have good processes, good people in place, and the kids can become a part of that and, you know, see how special that success is. It just kind of self-perpetuates itself.
So who do you have in the final four for your bracket? I have Virginia, Indiana, Kansas, and Marquette. And then I have Marquette versus Kansas. And I was a homer and I took Marquette all the way. How about you?
Oh, you got Marquette winning it all.
Just because I'm a homer and why not?
I know, I do too.
But I actually legit think Marquette is hot. I mean, they've done a great job at the end of the season.
Yeah, I had Arizona in my final four.
Yep.
I had Marquette. I have Houston and Kansas. So I've got three of the four live.
All right, yeah.
I got Houston playing Arizona, like I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
So hopefully Houston can make a good run here. But yeah, Marquette, such a young team, but right, they're having a ton of success, had a good run in the Big East tournament, and it'll be fun to watch them.
Speaking of your Badgers, they host Liberty at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Wow, that's tough to get up and get going for that. Hopefully they got mimosas there at the Kohl Center on Sunday. Second round of the NIT is going to be on ESPN2 and I believe on select Civic Media stations, so we'll check on that. But the Badgers, they got by their first round of the NIT facing Liberty on Sunday.
Yeah, it was fun to watch them compete this week. I think I was surprised with how much energy, and it looked like they were having fun again. I don't know,
right,
at the end of the year,
right,
it just looked like they were playing tense and tight, yep, and not relaxed. You make an uncharacteristic, you know, mistakes and errors, but it looked like they were having fun again this week, which was cool to see, because sometimes teams that have had success, like Wisconsin basketball has and had a long run of being in an NCAA tournament, I was worried they might come out flat, disinterested. And that just wasn't the case. So that was really cool to see. And hopefully they can end the year on a high note. Exciting. I don't know if I'll be able to skip church to watch the game Sunday, but I'll definitely record it.
You know, the smart priests and pastors are going to have a big screen for the congregation to watch. Or people are just going to be hiding, you know, phones in their hymnals and watching online.
Yeah, I suppose. Most people got TV on their phones nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens on that. Could be a short homily, a short message on Sundays. Before I let you go, how about Mark Johnson, the head coach of the women's hockey team? They are in the Frozen Four again, this time up in Duluth, Minnesota. Yeah. They'll take on the Golden Gophers of Minnesota tonight at 6:30. If anybody should have a statue erected on the campus of Madison, should it not be Mark Johnson?
So I'm probably like a lot of Wisconsinites, and you just don't even appreciate what you know, that program and what Mark Johnson has done. So, you know, we briefly put together a quick overview of what we want to chat about on these days. Mm-hmm. So I took a look at Mark Johnson's resume last night, and absolutely unbelievable.
Right.
Not only as a player,
yeah,
from an Olympic perspective, and as a Badger, as a professional hockey player, but see what he's done as a head coach since, was it like 2002?
Yeah. It's like six national championships.
Unbelievable.
It is. I messed up radio, but time's run out. My fault. I'm sorry. But have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Brady Ewing.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Brady. Back after this. This is the Tom Holt Show on Civic Media.